Hi, welcome to Torati Mecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. I'm Rechama Welcha, and today we'll be learning Parshas B'Shalach. So the Jews are finally free and they're on their way to Eretz Yisrael. And several things happen to them in this week's Parsha, which is their first part of the journey. So the sea splits, they sing the Shiras Hayam, they go to Marah and the water's bitter there, and Hashem instructs Moshe to perform a miracle to sweeten the water. They get the Mon, they have trouble again with not having water, and this time Hashem tells Moshe to hit a rock to get water. And don't get confused with the time many years later that Hashem didn't tell Moshe to hit the rock and he did hit the rock. That was a different story. And finally, at the end of the parasha, we're attacked by Amalek. So let's go through this in some more detail. Remember we said a couple of weeks ago that Paro never actually wanted to let the Jews go. He was just under pressure because of the Makkos, right? Well, right to the beginning of the parasha, we have proof of this because he regrets freeing them and he chases after them. So the Jews find themselves surrounded on all four sides. The Egyptians are chasing after them. There are wild animals on the right and on the left. The Yam Suf, the sea, is raging in front of them. And they do what Jews do in this sort of situation, and they cry out to Hashem. And then Hashem splits the sea. And it's the greatest open miracle of all time. Chazal tell us that the simplest person saw more revelation at the splitting of the sea than the great Navi Yechezkel. It's the miracle to end all miracles. And the Torah tells us that Vaya'aminu b'Hashem over Moshe Abdo. They have perfect faith in Hashem at this point. They have faith in Moshe. They sing Shira. The women sing Shira together with Miriam. They sing songs of praise to Hashem. Wow. Except, shortly after Kriyas Yamsuf, the matzah that they brought with them from Mitzrayim runs out. And like little kids on a road trip, they start to complain. We're starving. Are there any more snacks? I'd rather be at home than starving on this trip. That's actually literally what they say. They say they'd have rather died in Egypt than be brought into the desert to starve there. Now, to put this into context, to give us some perspective, they've just witnessed the miracles of Mitzrayim. They've just witnessed the sea splitting. And now they complain that they're hungry to the extent that they want to go back to Egypt. Remember, Egypt wasn't exactly a holiday paradise. So Rav Hirsch makes this point. And he doesn't make this point to criticize Bnei Yisrael, but he makes this point to validate what's going on. What he says is that everything pales into oblivion when we're faced with this crushing worry of parnasa, when one is worried about their hungry wife and their child. Chazal say, Koshem is a noisef shal adam kekriyas yamsuf. And in quoting this in context, Rav Hirsch is understanding it to mean that the worry about parnasa is as big a worry as the stress of the sea in front of you. And I think this is something that resonates. We can have so many blessings. We can have good health. We can have good marriages. We can have nachas from our children. We can have successful, fulfilling lives. And yet we can be totally overwhelmed if we have worries about parnasa, about monetary worries. And Rav Hirsch doesn't downplay this. He acknowledges it. He legitimizes it. He says that this worry of parnasa can turn anyone's world into a wilderness. And this worry compels us to be obsessed with earning money, not just for ourselves, but for all future generations, because we have this worry that we need to provide. And that's why we need a healthy way of relating to parnasa. We need a healthy way of relating to earning a livelihood, because it can totally consume us. It can take over our lives and it can make us irrational. We need a framework to be able to relate to this in a healthy kind of way. And in this week's parasha, Hashem sends food to the Jews as a response to their hunger. And this food, the mon, the story of the mon, this provides us a framework. This gives us a healthy perspective on how we can relate to this very, very real worry about parnasa. So ultimately, what's the only way that a person can cope with this worry of how am I going to put food on the table for myself and for all of those who depend on me? The only way to cope with this is if it's not actually your worry. Okay, so great, but whose worry is it then? So there's a story by Rabbi Avraham Twersky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. About one time he walked into a psychiatric institution and he observed there was a man standing in the corner, like as though he was holding something extremely, extremely heavy. And he was like writhing and struggling. And he asked the staff over there, he said, what's the matter with this person? And they said to him, he thinks he's holding the world. He thinks he's holding up the entire world. And if he puts it down, then the world is going to collapse. And no matter what we try and do to convince him that he's not holding up the world, we can't convince him. And he's just standing there and he's suffering. So Rabbi Twersky went over to the man And he made as though he was taking something from him. He held out his hands. It's hard to describe without showing you. But he held out his hands and he made as though he's taking something from the guy. And he said to him, I have the world now. It's okay. I'll hold it. You go, you sit down, you rest for a bit. And the person visibly relaxed. He like lowered his shoulders. He breathed a huge sigh of relief. He said, thank you so much. And he went to rest. And I think we're all a little bit like this man. We need to let go of this worry of needing to hold up the whole world. And the place where we're taught this idea is in this week's parasha through the story of the Mon. So let's see how we see this in the details of the text. So in the beginning of Parak Tes Zayin, Hashem tells Moshe all about the Mon. He explains to him that you collect enough for one day. Each person collects the quantity that he will need for that day. You're not allowed to save any leftovers for the next morning. And he also tells him that on the sixth day, whatever they go out and collect will be double. Okay, then what actually happened? So the Mon falls, and Moshe tells the Jews that these are the rules that you need to know about the Mon. You just collect what you need for one day. So the people go outside and they collect mon. And naturally, some people are more generous in their estimates of what they think they need for one day. And some people underestimate what they think they need for one day. But the miracle is they come home and they measure it and they weigh it. And each person finds that they have exactly the right measurement that they need. Whether they overestimated, whether they underestimated, every single person has exactly what they needed. And that's what happens every single day. Then on the sixth day, they go outside to collect mon as usual, and they come home and they find that they have a double portion. And everybody steps outside of their tent and they go to their neighbors and they say, it's a weird thing. I measured my mon and it's a double portion. And everyone's saying, the same thing happened to me. That's so strange. So they go to Moshe and they say, what's going on? Why do we have a double portion? So Moshe says, this is for Shabbos. Hashem told me about this. Hashem said that on Friday, what you collect is going to be double for Shabbos. Now, Rashi tells us that we can see from their confusion and they're going to ask Moshe and from Moshe's response in the Psukim that Moshe had never told them about this. Even though Hashem told Moshe earlier in the parasha that whatever they collect on the sixth day is going to be double for Shabbos, Moshe never mentioned that detail to them. He didn't tell them this. And obviously this raises a lot of questions, which are asked by the Orach Chaim. I mean, why didn't Moshe tell them this part of the instruction? The Orach Chaim says, did he forget this? If he would have forgotten, it would call the whole transmission of Torah into question. We rely on Moshe repeating accurately whatever Hashem told him. That's how Torah works. And also, a Navi is obligated to repeat Nevuah. If he doesn't, it's called Koveish Nevuah, so it's a very serious offense. So how could he choose to just not tell them something? And if you say he did forget, then why didn't Hashem just remind him to tell them? And the Orach Chaim answers that he didn't tell them because Hashem didn't tell him to tell Bnei Yisrael about this part. When Hashem gave Moshe instructions about the Mon, he never told him to tell Bnei Yisrael that on the sixth day, whatever they collect will be double. So if you look at the text, there's no word lemar. The word lemar literally means to say. Whenever Hashem gives a message to Moshe or to Aaron and he wants them to repeat it to Klal Yisrael, it always says, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe lemar. And in this case, there is no lemar. And there's a halacha that unless somebody gives you explicit permission to repeat something that they're telling you, you're not allowed to repeat it. This is Gemara in Yoma. And in this case, Moshe was not given permission to tell the Jews about the Mon on the sixth day becoming double for Friday, for Shabbos. Okay. So then this raises the next question. So why didn't Hashem tell Moshe to tell the Jews this information? Why all the secrecy? And besides the point, why didn't Hashem just tell them to collect double to begin with? There's not going to be mon on Shabbos, so on Friday, collect double. Why is there this whole drama of you collect as usual and it becomes double? Okay, so picture this. If Moshe would have told them on Friday that tomorrow is Shabbos, and you're going to need a double portion because there's not going to be any mon on Shabbos, it would have been a purely administrative technical thing. It's like saying the bakery is going to be closed tomorrow because it's a public holiday, so please make sure that you place all your orders by 12 p.m. noon on Tuesday. Or when we have a fast day, it's like eat double today because tomorrow you're going to be fasting. It's like a technical matter of being organized to make sure you have enough on a day when there isn't going to be any. There's not going to be mon on Shabbos, so make sure that you collect double on Friday or you're going to be hungry. But now imagine a different scenario. They go on Friday, they collect the mon, they collect what they usually collect, they come home, and it's really strange, the bag feels so much heavier. What's going on? This isn't supposed to happen, they weigh it. It's double, it's so strange. So they ask each other, and they ask Moshe, and they find Moshe, and they say, what's happening? Why do I have double the mon that I usually have? And Moshe looks at them and he says, ah, that's Lechem Mishnah. It's for Shabbos. You see, Hashem doesn't want them to be told this. He wants them to experience Shabbos on their own. He wants them to experience Shabbos firsthand in this sensual, physical, dramatic way, that the amount that you collect has no relevance to what you end up with. That's how Shabbos works. You collect one portion like you always do, and you end up with a double portion, do you see? Because on Shabbos, Hashem provides, and your work and your effort has no impact on what you receive. They aren't just told to collect double, but they experience firsthand that on Shabbos, Hashem provides for us. And this Shabbos mon wasn't just quantitatively different, it was also qualitatively different. Rashi says that Lechem Mishnah can also be read as Lechem Mishuneh, different. It was different in taste, it was different in smell. Rashi's quoting the Medrash there. And I always related to this double portion of mon as like a purely practical thing. You can't prepare on Shabbos, so you need double on Friday because there's an Isser Melacha on Shabbos. So it's very practical to prepare double beforehand. In the same way that we cook extra on Friday, I spend the whole day in the kitchen because I can't prepare on Shabbos. But I don't think it's limited at that. Because then Hashem would have told us to be practical and prepare double. Lechem Mishnah is not that. Lechem Mishnah is the double bracha. It's the idea that Shabbos is Hashem's space and we are His guests and therefore He's taking care of the food for us. And the magic is that when we stop working on Shabbos and we put the world down and we realize that actually everything continues to function perfectly, we realize that actually when we thought we were holding up for the whole world for the previous 6 days, that was really all just an illusion. The pasuk in Vayakhel, when it talks about Shabbos, it tells us that Sheshes Yomim Te'ase Melacha, for 6 days work should be done. And on the seventh day, it's Shabbos. Now notice that the pasuk speaks in the passive, Te'ase, instead of Ta'ase, work should be done. Shabbos reminds you that the work is done by Hashem all week. It's not you who does it, it is done. Because we see from Shabbos that the work that I put in has no relationship to the outcome whatsoever. And the same way that it is on Shabbos, that's the same way it is the whole week. All week long, I think I'm holding up the world. I think I'm holding up my home, holding up the company. I think I'm doing it. But really, Hashem is doing it all for me. And on the seventh day, I put everything down. And I realized that the whole week was really just an illusion because the work is done by Hashem. And Shabbos is the proof of that. So to go back to where we started, this idea, this lesson, is specifically introduced together with the mon in the context of parnasa, in the context of needing to provide, because the only way we can handle the worry of parnasa is with this mindset, when we realize that Hashem has got this, that the worry of parnasa isn't actually mine. To backtrack a little bit, we were actually told about Shabbos earlier on in this week's parsha. After Kriyas Yamsof, before we complain about the mon, when we're at Morah, when the water's bitter, we're also given some mitzvahs at that time. We're taught the halachas of Parah Adumah, the red cow. We're taught some interpersonal laws. And we're also taught about Shabbos there. And the Brisker Rav tells us that at that point, we're given the tzivui of Shabbos. We're given the commandments. We're told the do's and the don'ts and the how to keep Shabbos. But later on in the parasha, when we're given the mon, that's when we're given the gift of Shabbos. Because like we've been saying, we think we're holding up the whole world. We carry the burdens of raising our children and financial success and jobs and people who rely on us for chesed. And on Shabbos, Hashem comes to us and says, you can sit down for a bit now, you can rest. I'll hold it up all for you. What a gift. And Hashem should help us draw from the message of Shabbos each week so that we can remember that ultimately He's in control and that the serenity of Shabbos can carry through and last us for the entire week. Have a great Shabbos and a great week.